Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of KD Time, that sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast for each and every podcast fan. As you know, I talk about a lot of different things on this show, so if you didn't know and you're a first-time listener, you can go and listen to anything you want because I talk about a lot of different things, and that's not going to change. I talk about movies, I talk about TV shows, I talk about music, I talk about general nostalgia, I talk about food, I talk about sports. You know, I'll talk about a lot of different things. In this episode, because to celebrate Black History Month, I'm going to talk about the top 10 most notable Black movies. Top 10 most notable Black movies. I know. For this month, I've been spending a lot of time watching a Black movie at least once, one every night. And even if I've seen it before, even if I haven't seen it, I'm trying to watch it because that is my contribution to the Black community. I'm going to support the movies in that way. Maybe next year I'll listen to a bunch of songs, but I feel like I listen to a lot of music anyway, so like throughout the year, that's not gonna change. I'm just saying, like, specifically this month, I've been watching a lot of Black movies. I've seen so far, I've seen Set It Off, which I've seen before, but I wanted to see it. Set It Off, I've seen Black Knight, I've seen Friday, of course. I've seen a lot, okay? Like, there's been a lot of movies that I've seen so far, and I'm doing that with my best friend, also because it's good to encourage her to watch some things that I grew up with. A lot of the things I've been trying to watch haven't been available to me, and I've had to try and find creative ways on how to watch these movies, like Crooklyn, Undercover Brother. You know, I've been trying to get to watch something simple as Brown Sugar. Like when I say that it's been a little bit difficult to watch, it just means that I'm not able to watch a lot of these things free. So I'm trying to find creative ways in order to watch them. And some things are just not available in whatever, like, it hasn't been available. But that's neither here nor there. I am trying my best to just watch everything I can through this month, especially since it's a short month. Don't know why we got the shortest month, but that's all right. I mean, I could spend time watching it outside of Black History Month as well, because the days go by, but I could still watch whatever I want, right? So that part doesn't really faze me. But yeah, this episode I'm going to talk about the top 10 notable Black movies, most notable. Now, if your movie isn't on this list and you're like, this is definitely a notable movie, I'm sorry. I'm doing this based on, like, this most notable Black movie list has nothing to do with IMDb, has nothing to do with any of that. It's just if you were to ask someone and someone said a movie that this is the one, these are the ones that might be on that list. Now, I'm not saying that you know, a movie that I don't mention isn't on the list completely, because there's a lot of movies, right? There's hundreds of movies, but these are the top 10 most notable movies. And it's interesting because when I was creating the list and when I was thinking about the list and I looked it up and I was just like, so, okay. When you think notable, you think that it's something that people would recognize off the bat. Now, don't get me wrong, all of these movies on this particular list are notable. They are. But have I seen them all? No, which is why I'm also on my movie journey. I also, like, just the full disclaimer, there's gonna be some spoilers, but to be honest with you, I'm at a place in my life where I don't want to watch struggle movies. I don't really want to watch movies where it reflects a whole lot on history, you know what I mean? Like, and I've seen a lot in my time frame, but there's like certain movies where I'm just kind of like, oh, that looks good, but I don't know that I have the mental capacity to watch it. And when I say that, I'm being completely transparent. It's just like I just don't want to feel triggered. I don't want to feel like, angry. Like I'm so sick of that stereotype that we're angry people. We're not. And plus, on the other hand of things, I'm part Caribbean, right? No, I'm all Caribbean actually, but like it's like my the people, my Caribbean people, we're a happy people. We're a happy people. We bring joy and laughter wherever we go. Well, if we get upset, then yeah, that's life. Everybody gets upset. But there's just something about certain movies that like bring you to a certain point where you're just kind of like, I don't want to see it. Like, I don't want to see it. And it has nothing to do with how good the movie is, how bad the movie is. It's like when you watched certain things that have happened continuously or are based on real life or based on what happened to certain people, it's just difficult. It's just difficult. And I think that anyone who like honestly, I don't think like if you put the shoe on another foot, you say like for the Jews to watch a bunch of movies about the Holocaust, I don't think that they would be comfortable with it all the time. I don't know, I don't know how true that is, but I just would feel like if you were throwing the Holocaust in their face all the time, like with different movies, whether it's portrayed beautifully, whether whatever, it's just like I don't think that they would want to watch something like that all the time. So it's like, yeah, I can watch certain things every now and then, but for it to be a constant point of Hollywood to just keep throwing this in your face, like, oh yeah, look, there's a different way that people were racist. Awesome. But it's just like I don't want to see that. You know what I mean? I don't want to anyway. But that's the topic of today's movies. Some of these movies I definitely haven't seen, but they're on my list to see. And it's as it some of them like when I get through the list, you'll understand. Like some of them I just don't want to see, but I will watch them at some point. Don't take my black card. It takes a lot. It takes a lot mentally. It takes a lot physically. It takes a lot emotionally to want to watch these shows and these movies and not feel like, ah, like you want to slap somebody. So anyway, let's get into it. So, the number one movie on this top 10 most notable list. Actually, you know what? I'll go backwards. So start from 10. Let's start from 10. And these films offer a range of perspectives, themes, and genres contributing significantly to the rich tapestry of black cinema. Right? So let's start from number 10. Number 10, we have Malcolm X, 1992. It was directed by Spike Lee, and this is a biographical film that follows the life and activism of Malcolm X, played by Denzel Washington. And that was in 1992. I was a kid. I was a baby. I was not watching Malcolm X. But as when I got older, obviously I was able to see it. I think I was probably between 8 and 10 when I was able to finally watch it. And I thought Denzel Washington did a fantastic job. Not only did I know I knew of Malcolm X because, of course, when I was growing up, I went to a Jewish school. I went to a Jewish school from K through 8. And when I say a Jewish school, I don't mean your typical yarmulke wearing Jewish schools. No, I went to a public school. I went to PS 161 in Crown Heights, okay? And when I say it was a Jewish school, there were ton like all of my teachers up until 5th grade were Jewish. every single one of them. They were white Jewish women, okay? And I mean, I loved my teachers growing up. They were really awesome. They were nice. I had a good time. So whatever. But when I say I went to a Jewish school, that's what I mean. Like there were tons of Jewish women teachers and women faculty, and I had like three principals, or like not three principals, but like one principal and then two or three vice principals. Anyway, it took a long time for me to get to a black teacher, and I was in my fifth grade year, and then even after that, it was like, you know, teeter tottering on white and black. But it didn't occur to me that not everybody else had this experience. Like, I didn't think about it because I was like, well, you know, this is what's going on here in my neighborhood. This is where I'm going to school. Anyway, so the point is, 1992, Malcolm X movie came out with Denzel Washington. He did a fantastic job. I learned about Malcolm X in school during Black History Month. That was one of the things that would happen every year. You'd learn about the same people over and over and over again every year. So I learned about Malcolm X. I learned about Martin Luther King. I learned about Sojourner Truth. I learned about Harriet Tubman. I learned about Frederick Douglass. Like, I learned about these individuals, Rosa Parks. I learned about them in school, but it was always during Black History Month. So when I was able to get to school and like 6, 7, 8 in school, you know, 9, 10, Malcolm X comes up. It's a point of like, he was this activist. He was, you know, and then I was able to finally see the movie because I was old enough to see the movie, you know? So it is notable. I feel like Malcolm X is notable because of who Malcolm X was and because it was portrayed really well by Denzel Washington. Okay. So that's, you know, that's number 10. Number 9, Boys in the Hood. And I didn't say in, I said N, the Hood. 1991. I definitely wasn't watching that in 1991. Again, I was a baby. Couldn't watch that. Absolutely not. Couldn't watch that. Right? It was directed by John Singleton, and it's this coming-of-age drama that explores the challenges faced by young African-Americans growing up in South Central Los Angeles. And yeah. Yeah, that one, the Boys in the Hood is one of those movies where you're like, you're not, for me, when I first saw it, I wasn't anticipating the amount of drama that came with it, but I was just like, wow, you know, and it's one of those movies where you're just kind of like, you're watching it, and then it becomes a classic. You're just like, oh yeah, Boys in the Hood. You remember the scene, Ricky! You could break down just thinking about that scene, you know. But yeah, Boys in the Hood, I didn't watch until I was very much older. I think I had to be at least in my teens when I first saw it. But it was funny because like when I was growing up, also my mom would allow me to watch certain movies, but then she'd like, hold on, pause, wait, and then she's like, don't look or cover your eyes or whatever, and then she'd fast forward certain scenes. Like, she did this with a few movies like Love and Basketball, Boys in the Hood, The Wood, every, like, you just fast forward. And it wasn't until I was older, much older, till I could see the full scope of the things, and I was like, whoa, I was not expecting all of that. Okay, I see what you did there, mama. I see what you did. But yeah, Boys in the Hood, good notable movie. A lot of people who would, you know, say like, what's one of your top 10 favorite black movies, I bet you Boys in the Hood would be on there. Next, number 8, Hidden Figures. It came out in 2016, directed by Theodore Melfi, and this film tells the true story of three African-American women mathematicians who played crucial roles at NASA during the space race. Absolutely. This movie, I remember seeing it in the theaters. I remember seeing it again on TV a few times after that. I love this movie. And then when I was growing up, I was really good at math. I was really good at math. And I say was, like, I'm not still good at math. I'm still pretty good at math. Like, I don't use math. Well, yes, I do. I use math every day. But like, to the level of degree of those three women, no, I wasn't like, you know, trying to help NASA in my teenage years, but I was really good. And when I was going to school, like when I was going to college, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had like a few different ideas of what I wanted to be. And then when I finally got to my, I went to three colleges. The second college I went to, I wanted to be a mathematician. I really was like, let me focus on math. I really like math. I can do more with a math degree. That was my thought process. And then I realized that I didn't like accounting, or I like statistics, but not as much. And calculus kicked my butt. So that I was like, okay, well, never mind. Maybe I'm not as good at math as I thought I was, or I just couldn't understand it in a way that would help me pass the class. Because I took calculus like three times and I just couldn't understand it. Anyway, enough about me. But Hidden Figures, great movie. Great movie. It's definitely notable. It's notable because of the three women who portrayed in it. It's notable because the movie portrays truth. It portrays women who weren't your average, like, women. They made a major impact in the world. Just some like Malcolm X made his major impact. He did what he was supposed to do. He came and just was like, listen, this is, I'm gonna fight for the rights and do what I have to do here. But yes, Hidden Figures was also pretty notable because, you know, who would have thought that three women, not alone women, but three black women would be the reason that we were able to get somebody up into space in the first place. Like we were fighting with, or not fighting, but racing against other countries trying to get into space. And these women were able to figure it out mathematically and become that, like, ultimately that force, you know. And that happens with a lot of things that we use and have fun with today. A lot of the things that we appreciate about being alive is because of people, like black people. And anyway, so in this movie, you know, Katherine Gobble Johnson, who she passed away in 2020, like after the movie was finished, who was portrayed by Taraji P. Henson. Then you had Octavia Spencer, you have Janelle Monáe. Like those three women, they were phenomenal actresses in this movie. They did a fantastic job. I absolutely love Taraji P. Henson's speech about the bathroom and how unfortunate it is that she had to go all the way across the campus just to use a colored bathroom, even though where she was working there was no colored bathroom. And she makes this big speech monologue and everybody's just kind of like, whoa, like, it's that deep? And she's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, it's that deep. I mean, I know that that's not like super significant to the story as a whole, but it was pretty impactful for me. Like I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm just like, you know, every day she's like hustling to get to the bathroom every day. And then she's doing her work on top of that. She's having her own life, or, you know, her life outside of the work, but still dealing with that kind of stuff in the workplace. Like, just for me now where I'm at in life, like, I'm so grateful for my history, for the history of this country, because I don't know what it would be like if we were still stuck in the past and having to be separate all the time and having to try to work together, but having that same feeling of not feeling welcome, not feeling like you belong, you know, like the movie stuck out to me as a whole. And I thought, you know, this is definitely a notable movie. Definitely. Next, number seven. Okay. Number seven, I love. I absolutely seen this movie way too many times, but not enough times at the same time. Black Panther came out in 2018, directed by Ryan Coogler, and this Marvel superhero film became a cultural phenomenon, celebrating African culture and showcasing a predominantly black cast. Yes. Okay. Like there's movies that represent a predominantly black cast where you don't really see much of any white people. Like in Friday, there's not a lot of white people. There's like maybe not even like I think there's like one maybe, but no. Like there's a lot of movies out there that have a predominantly black cast, but still have like here and there like some white folk that are a little bit more important in said movie. In Black Panther, there was like one or two. Okay, there's like one or two that were around, and the rest of it was just us, you know. But yeah, Black Panther was fantastic. I love that movie. I love that it was like so elegant and beautiful, and the colors and the music, the music. Okay, it's just like wow. Okay, wow. I love Black Panther, and I'm still broken up about the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Like it still eats me up that he is not here anymore, because he was such a phenomenal actor. Like, and he did so many things in his short, like, film career. Like, and I say it's not, I say it's short, but it's like, for me, like, I saw him come to the stage. Like he came and he conquered, and he did, you know, he was Jackie Robinson, and he was James Brown. Like he did so many things. He was in so many movies and just portraying all of these different people, these guys, these and anyway, it's just and then they recently, a couple years ago, they just did Black Panther 2, and I was in the theater like bawling my eyes out. Not because of Rihanna and her little Wake Me Up song, which was, you know, I heard it on the radio and I was like, okay, this is, but it was just cinematic beauty. Ryan Coogler, you genius. You genius. I feel like watching Black Panther now. I'll probably watch it right after this. But yeah. Yes, Black Panther is definitely one of those like ooh, notable movies, for sure, for sure. Number six, Selma, came out in 2014, directed by Ava DuVernay, DuVernay. Sorry about that. This historical drama focuses on the 1965 Selma to Montgomery voting rights marches led by Martin Luther King Jr. I did not see Selma. I will see Selma eventually. I just haven't yet. And I believe it's notable because, again, it was one of those very significant moments in history from real life that happened, where Martin Luther King led a community. He led people from one area to the next for voting rights. Like he did that, you know, and because he did that, I am able to vote. I don't always vote, and I know that that's not the right thing to do, especially since people fought for us to do so. I just, it's like when you don't have really good options, it's like I don't really want to contribute to picking a person that's like, you know, but at the same time, like this movie is definitely notable based on the gut, the grit, the gumption that people had. And in 1965, a lot of the people that were born around that time, were born that year, around today. So it's like, you know, I'm sitting here with people that could talk about the history still. They could still talk about it as if they were reliving it. I can you know, I could only imagine what a lot of them were thinking when they were like, when stuff like this was happening on a daily basis, where people were just coming together or getting blasted by fire hoses, or they were trying to build up something and be, you know, united and stand for something. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like today with like the different protests that goes on, like protests for Palestine, protests for Israel, protests for Black Lives Matter, protests for Stop Jewish Hate, protests for Stop Asian Hate. Like, there's a lot of protests. There's a lot of community building actions that happen on a regular basis because of all of the injustice, you know, because of all the injustice in the world still to this day. There's a lot of things going on, but we are farther than we've been before. When I said that just now, I was like, we are farmers, da, da, da. Anyway, but no, we are much farther than we've been, you know, as a people, as an American race, or as a human race, I should say. We are so much farther than we were, because 1965 wasn't that long ago, and that's what people are like not remembering. Like, 1965 was not that long ago, because I know people who are in my friend group in my life that were born during that time, that were alive during that time. So it's like, you know, it's not, it wasn't. If you ask anybody who's in their 70s, 80s right now, like, they would still remember that stuff. You know what I mean? They could still recall certain things and say and tell you and experience and give you like that notion of what really happened and how it affected them. So yeah, someone's definitely a notable movie. Moonlight, number five, Moonlight 2016, directed by Barry Jenkins. This coming of age drama follows the life of a young Black man as he grapples with his identity and sexuality. I haven't seen Moonlight. I remember watching the Oscars when when they had that big mishap, that big mistake, where because the like the people who were coming out to say the who won the award, they still had the envelope from the last winning person or something, and they called out La La Land. It was this whole thing. La La Land was excited, the crowd was all cheering, we were like, that seems wrong. And then the people for the Oscars came out and said, no, stop, wait, stop, time out, hold on. La La Land did not win. La La Land did not win. It was Moonlight. It was Moonlight. And he shows us the paper that clearly says Moonlight on it that won the big award, the movie of the year, or whatever the cuss award was. But it was Moonlight, and everybody was just like in shock and in awe. And then other people, it was a jubilation. It's like, yes, whoa, awesome, yeah, that's great. I still don't understand how they fudged that up. Like, I don't, it doesn't matter now, but it's still pretty interesting how they messed that up. But yeah, I haven't seen Moonlight. It's on one of my lists to watch. I just haven't seen it yet. And I know that it's notable because of its portrayal of a young man who's growing up in a world, and he's struggling with his identity, struggling with his sexuality. He's trying to understand who he is. And you know, we see movies like those all the time. Coming of age, people growing up, people experiencing things from childhood up until adultery, how it shapes them as a person, how they become different in their and how they change who they used to be. Like, they're no longer like a certain way as a child, and then they're older and they're just kind of like, they still have that childlike essence about them, but it's not fully taken over because the adult side has now been more flourished. So yeah, Moonlight's definitely notable, and because it came out in 2016, wasn't that long ago, it's pretty, that's pretty awesome that it's that's on this list to say, you know. And it's just like I said, this list is about different perspectives, different themes, different genres. So it, we're just seeing what that would be, right? Number four, Get Out, 2017, directed by the one and the only Jordan Peele. This horror thriller addresses racism in a unique and thought-provoking way. Absolutely. I saw this movie twice. Not once, twice. And I still can't believe I saw it twice. I remember watching the trailer and I was just kind of like, it didn't look that scary in the trailer. Like, honestly, it didn't look that scary in the trailer. But then when you watch the movie and you are sitting there and you're thinking about what's going on in said movie, it's like, wait, what? Like, what is the big deal? Like, it didn't make sense. And I just, oh my gosh, like, I don't even understand. But at the same time, okay, this is Jordan Peele, right? I've seen his show, the Peele and Key show, or the Key and Peele show. And there were some things in the show that kind of like made you think a little bit, like, and you're just kind of like, whoa, this skit is kind of like, whoa, mind blowing. Like, what? I can't believe it, that just happened. Like, it flipped the script on me, right? And with this one, it's a psychological horror. Psychological horror film. And it's so, like, I don't even know, it's so twisted in the way that, like, with each moment from the very beginning, each moment there's certain little subtle details that kind of like just make you think about everything that's going on. And like, this might have been one of the craziest fictional movies I've ever seen, because I don't think that it's real. I don't think that there's a cultivation of white rich people who are so, like, deprived of their own talent that they want to steal the bodies, the very bodies of black people, of young black people, whether they're getting too old or whatever, they're blind, whatever. Like, I don't think that that's real. I would sure as hell hope not. But, and then just the thought of the technology that it would take to be able to function, like, for you to function in another person's body. Ah! I can tell y'all, when I first saw this movie, I went by myself to go watch this movie, and I was in the crowd with, because this is back when people still went to theaters, okay? And I'm sitting in the movie theater, and when I tell you, because I don't know, okay, I've been to a lot of different theaters over the years, but when you go to a black movie with black people, we are the most interactive people. Now, like, let me step to the side just for a quick second. Let me step to the side. Y'all, if y'all have y'all ever seen Scary Movie, the Scary Movies? Y'all remember Brenda? Yeah, Brenda, who is sitting in she's sitting in a movie theater, and she's like, girl, don't you go in that room. He in there. Don't go in there. And she's talking to the movie. Like, she's literally sitting in the theater, talking to the movie, surrounded by people, and people are like, shh, stop talking. What are you doing? We're trying to watch a movie. She's like, shh, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them. Like, she's getting into it, right? But it's very clear that she's, like, one of the only black people in that theater that's interacting with the TV screen. Like, she's interacting with the movie screen. This is, Brenda was portrayed by Regina Hall, right? And so she's doing this. So, like, okay. Now that you have an idea, like, this is real life. Like, I was in a theater with a bunch of Brendas, including myself, who was just like, I'm just like, oh no. Like, we were all in there. just like commenting on everything that was going on. I don't think I've ever experienced that going to another theater and the crowd being predominantly Asian or predominantly white or whatever. Like, I just haven't experienced that, where we'd sit and watch a movie and we'd comment as if like our words and our objections to what's going on was gonna change a damn So I'm sitting in the theater watching Get Out, and y'all know that scene. Okay, if you've seen this movie, and you know the scene where Homeboy is just like booking it, like the groundskeeper is jet, like he's, and then he kind of like scares, he scares what's his name's character, Andre, no, not Andre, I'm sorry. He scares Chris. So Chris is like sitting outside, he's about to smoke or whatever, and he scares the crap out of Chris. And he always has this hat on. Like he has his hat on, so he's, you can't see the scar on his head and everything. And I tell you, I was like, we were all like, yo, like, why are you doing that? And then when we see Chris just kind of like, he's like, no, like, let's go. We have to go. Your parents are crazy. And she's just like, we're not going anywhere. Yo, the crowd was was like, bro, you can't save her. She's a part of it. Oh my goodness, I'm crying laughing. But the only reason why I saw this twice was because, like, I went by myself once, and then the next time someone was like, oh, we're gonna go see Get Out, let's go. So I went again just to see, like, if I would pick up on certain cues, and I sure did. I saw, like, a lot of things that I didn't see the first time, first go around, of course. But oh, when I tell you, we as a community, we as a people were cheering and being all loud for Chris's safety when he was finally saved, and oh my word. Oh my word. Good grief. And so Chris is the character, but he was played brilliantly by Daniel Kaluuya. I think that's how it's spelled. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Portrayed brilliantly by him. It was just, oh my goodness, it was so fantastic. And like Lakeith Stanfield's character, he's like, he finally, like, he gets it, the picture flashes in his face, he's like, get out, get out, and then like take him away, and they, oh my goodness, the movie was something else. That movie was something else. But notable, okay? That was notable. All right, number three, 12 Years a Slave, 2013, directed by Steve McQueen. This historical drama is based on the memoir of Solomon Northrup, a free African American man who was kidnapped and sold into slavery. I haven't seen this movie. I haven't seen it. I don't really want to. Like, I do, but I don't. It's like, it's again, it's one of those movies where you just don't wanna, I don't wanna feel that trigger that I was talking about earlier in this episode. So, it's not, it has nothing, like, it has nothing to do with how good the movie is or how bad the movie is. I think, Chiwetel Ejiofor did a fantastic job, and I loved it based on the trailer. I just haven't seen the movie, and I know that, like, it received critical acclaim. It was, it made a bunch of money and everything, which is fantastic. I think that movies like this should be seen. I just wasn't trying to see it. Just like, because it hurts. It hurts to see certain things like that. It just does. And I know that it's just a movie, it's not real in the sense of this present time. It's not real, but it was real. Something like that was real. So it's like, how could you not feel a certain type of way? I will watch it though, because it has a lot of fantastic actors and actresses in it, so it's definitely well worth the watch. Number two, The Color Purple, 1985, directed by Steven Spielberg, based on Alice Walker's novel. It tells the story of an African American woman's struggles in the early 20th century. I've seen The Color Purple way too many times. Way too many times. I've seen it so much that I probably could recall it for you on this here podcast, but I won't. I could probably do that with Black Panther too, but I won't. And Get Out, but I won't. I won't. But yeah, The Color Purple. I've seen it so many times, and I just recently saw the musical adaptation from the Broadway, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was in the theater with people, and we were doing the same thing. We were cheering. We were like making comments. We were like, no, he did not. You know, like we were in there, right? And I've seen the 1985 version with Whoopi Goldberg and Donald Glover, or Danny Glover, and of course Oprah Winfrey, and just like I know that it's notable, not just because of the portrayal, not because just because of what's happening in the movie and who's in the movie. It's notable because it was just beautiful. It's a beautiful movie. It's a beautiful portrayal of something that is culturally relevant in my mind. And I really enjoyed watching it. I enjoyed watching the Broadway adaptation movie. I've seen the Color Purple on Broadway. I went with my mom, which was really awesome, back when Fantasia was doing it on Broadway as well. So it was just kind of funny that she's full circle here. But that movie is something else. It's definitely got a lot of it's like in my brain. It's like seared in my brain. And it's no doubt that it would come in at number two on this list, because it's like whenever anybody talks about, again, whenever anybody talks about these movies, like what are the first few movies that come up? The Color Purple will come up. 12 Years a Slave will come up. Moonlight comes up now. Black Panther. Like, these movies come up because they are notable. All right. Finally, number one, Do the Right Thing, 1989, directed by Spike Lee. This film explores racial tensions in a Brooklyn neighborhood during a hot summer day. Yes. I saw this movie, and it didn't like it wasn't okay. All right. It wasn't what I was anticipating. Like, it had comedy in it. You know, it had so many different things in it where you're watching and you're just kind of like not anticipating how it was gonna end. Like, I didn't see the ending coming. I didn't see that story ending. But Do the Right Thing, like, it's portrayed in different songs, like Do the Right Thing, like Spike Lee. Like, it's one of Spike Lee's, I would say probably one of his most notable films that he's directed. You know, it he's got a quite the list of movies under his belt. He's made a lot of very notable movies, and you know, I think he's still working on things now, even today, but he's done a lot. You know, he's done She's Gotta Have It, 1986, School Days, 1988, Jungle Fever, Malcolm X, the movie, number 10. So he kind of did, he bookends this here list, right? Crooklyn, like I was saying before earlier, one of my favorites. Girl, Get on the Bus, He Got Game. Bamboozled was good. She Hate Me. Oh Boy. Chi-Raq. Black Klansman with the triple K in there. So, you know, it's he's done a lot, and he's been around for quite some time. I believe he started in the 70s, and so, he got his start, and he was just going from there. Went to Morehouse, and he took film courses at Clark Atlanta. And then he did work in New York at New York University. So, and you can always find this guy at something New York related. You know what I mean? He's at Knicks games, he's at Yankee games, he's at Mets games. Like, I don't think he's ever been to like a hockey game or anything. But maybe I'm not saying, that he hasn't. I'm just saying I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, like that Do the Right Thing, it is definitely one of those movies where you it's a drama, but it's not like a full on like oh boo hoo drama. It's a comedy drama that just so happened to have such a real moment in it. Not to go into too much detail, but not to go into too much detail, but it's sort of like is so relevant today because of how the police and black people are just kind of like at odds, a lot of the time. Like, at least in the media, it's always portrayed that the police and black folk are always at odds with one another. So it's very hit or miss with that, but watch the movie. I'll say watch the movie, and then you can let me know whether you liked it or not. But that's the list, right? That's the list of the top 10 most notable black movies. If you didn't know, the term notable can be subjective, right? As it depends on individual preferences and opinions. So, it's about how you perceive it. And like with these, like the 10 black movies that are widely recognized for their cultural impact, their critical acclaim, and their significance in cinema, this list includes films that span various genres and themes and showcases the diversity of black storytelling. And that's what's important about this list, is about how the stories are portrayed, how the stories are seen, how they're told, about how the stories are told. And if you get that, if you get so, if you can, like, if you're not even a movie watcher, if you're not even black, if you're listening to this and you're just kind of like, well, some of these movies sound familiar, like Black Panther, I've heard of that one, but some of the others I haven't heard of. I would suggest that listen to this episode again, find the movie that you haven't seen and watch it. And then, see if you can relate, or if you feel like it was worth the watch or not. Again, I'm not here to say that you have to watch these movies in order to no, like there's no requirement with this. I was just intrigued and thought that it would be nice to talk about it during Black History Month. So that's it for this here episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that I was able to bring some insight into your life, help you understand a little bit about me and my culture and what we do on the black side of things, because I am Caribbean, so it's like, we're not all like not at all black people are all black. It's just we just have a lot of the same tendencies. Okay. Anyway, with that being said, I will catch you on the next episode of KD Time. I'm on Twitter, and well, it's not Twitter anymore, right? I'm on X at Katie Time Podcast. I'm on Instagram at Katie Time Podcast. I have a Facebook. Like, go to my link tree. You'll find everything. If you want to be on the show, hit me up. My email is on my link tree. You can send me a message directly, or you can DM me on X or Instagram, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. So yeah, that's the episode, folks. I had a great time talking with you all about these top 10 black movies, most notable black movies. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll catch you on the next one. Deuces!